We begin the current Daven Maseches Gittin Daven Zayin. We begin 10 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion from the previous Daf. That is, we had introduced the halacha of Rabbi Yasser, who had said that when one brings a get from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't have to say b'fanei nechtam, which Rabbi Yosef contested, that how could we know we should rely on Rabbi Yasser if when he wrote a letter with psuk, with a pasuk, which we know when you write, as Rabbi Yitzchok has said, a few words from a pasuk, you can't write it without doing sirtut, with it means to say to inscribe a line in the parchment, which you write the pasuk on top of that, to which Abai had proven that because he doesn't know that halacha doesn't mean he's not a great person. But now the Gemara continues with an incident relating to writing a pasuk with sirtut. So Shalach Mar Ukva to Rabbi Lazar. Mar Ukva had sent Rabbi Lazar the following request. He said, "B'nei Adam ha'im nimalai." There are certain people that are bothering me, that are disturbing me. They're instigating against me. Uveyadi lamasim lamalchas. But he says it's within my abilities to say and slander them to the government, and that the government will take care of them. Maho, what's halacha? Can I do that because they're really making it difficult for me? So sirtut v'kasavle, and this is why this story is brought over here. So Belazar did sirtut, which again is making that line with an instrument on the parchment, and on that he wrote the following pasuk at Tehillim. Amarti, I said, Eshmiro drochai mechatoi b'lashayni, that I will safeguard my path from sinning with my tongue. Eshmiro lefi maxim, I will safeguard my mouth with being closed. Ba'oid rashal negdi, when there's a wicked person opposite me. So the interpretation that he was telling him from this pasuk is, afa pi sh'rashal negdi, even though there's a wicked person opposite me who's fighting with me, eshmer lafi maxim, I will safeguard my mouth, will be closed, will be muzzled. Again, telling him that you shouldn't go ahead and be malshin him to the government. Now, sholachle, but then he sent it back, but kamitzarli tuva, they're really bothering me. V'lo mitzin nadeikim behu, I can't withstand this tribulation. So Shalachle again, he said to the pasuk and tell him. The pasuk was, Doim la Hashem, be silent to Hashem, v'hischeiloi, and pray to him and anticipate for him. Which the interpretation is, Doim la Hashem, be silent for Hashem, v'hu yapilim loch chalolim chalolim. The word ischeil could also be related to, and then he will make them fall, corpses, corpses. Hashkin v'her v'alein l'beis ha-medrash, get up early and stay late in the beis ha-medrash. Then call them aleim, and they'll disappear by themselves. So the Gemara tells us, Hadav yatsim yipir Belazar, this word of his response went out of Rebbe Lazar, v'nasnu l'geneva, and immediately they took and they placed Geneva, who was the name of this person that was bothering, the one who had sent Rebbe Lazar, it's Ma'u Ukva, and they put him bekoiler, they put him in chains, which is what they used to do, those who the government had appointed that they're going to kill them. They put them in chains. That's what happened immediately by Rabbi Lazar's response. Tzadik Geizer, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. Now also, Sholchalei Lamar Ukva. Again with Mar Ukva and regarding being misartit when you're writing a pasuk. So they sent to Mar Ukva the following question. Zimra, to sing in the places where they're making parties and drink. Menalan da'asa, how do we know that's forbidden to do? So sirtut v'kasablu, so again he did sirtut and he wrote for them the following pasuk in Yeshua. It says, Al tismach Yisrael, let not the Jewish people rejoice, el gil, with lightheadedness, ka'amim, like the nations, with rejoicing like the nations. So again, that we don't do like the nations, in the place where we're drinking, we don't sing. Now, and then that's obviously not a simcha shel mitzvah, but just regular singing. Now, the question is, v'lishlach lehu mehocha, why didn't he send them the pasuk in Yeshaya? That seems to be clearer in regards to the drinking of the wine and not singing at the same time, which it says, bashir lo yishtu yayin, with song they shouldn't be drinking wine. Yemar, it should be better for them, sheikh or l'shaysav, their hard drink to those who are drinking. It means you can't, if you're drinking, you can't be singing. So that seems to be a clearer source. And that the Gemara says, imahu, had the source been that pasuk, Havamin, I would have thought to say Hanamila Zimr Demana. That would only be the song that comes with an instrument, which is the pasuk before that talks about a kinar, a harp. But the Puma Shariba, I would think to say that, but the song that comes from the mouth, that's permitted in the house of drink, Kamash Malan, that's why he brought a different pasuk that no, Altismach Yisrael, even the song from the mouth of singing is forbidden in the house of drink. Now, continuing on this theme, the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Huna bar Nosson Rav Ashi. He says, Maidech Siv, and this is going back to what Marukva, how we started off this daf regarding people that are bothering him, and that he told him, just daven to Hashem, and Hashem will take care of it all. So he says, Maidech Siv, what does it mean in Pasuk in Yeshua that says, Kina, B'dimayna, V'adada? So Amalei Rav Ashi responded to him, he says, Masvasa de Eretz Yisrael Chashav. If you look in Sefer Yeshua, these are places, it's delineating, there are different places, towns in Eretz Yisrael. So Amalei Rav Huna bar Nosson said to him, Atu ano lo yedana de Masvasa de Eretz Yisrael Chashav? What do you think, I don't know how to read Tanakh? What do you think, I don't know that it's talking about places in Eretz Yisrael? Ella, rather, what I was asking was, is that Rav Gavia Margiza, Rav Gavia from this place, Argiza, Omar Bataima, he gave a taste into this. Yes, although it looks like the Torah is just writing places, but there's a deeper level here where he interpreted these places as lessons. Where kol sheyesh li kina al chaver, again the word kina, is if someone has kina on his friend, which the interpretation here means anger because of that other person bothering him, which Rashi says that in generally, kina, which is loosely translated as jealousy, it means to say a person that's moving over and projecting or interjecting into someone else because of a dispute that they have, which in this case is anger towards the other person, v'daimim, which is the next place of v'dimayna, and he's silent, although he's upset at this guy because what this guy did to him, but he's silent, sheikhin ad-de-ad, which is the word ad-oda, the one who dwells forever, reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oisloidin, will do a justice for him. Again, the same idea, where if someone's bothering you and you're silent and you don't act back, Hashem will take care of it. Now, Amalei, so Rav Ashi responded to Rav Huna bar Nosson, who to give him this whole interpretation, homiletic interpretation, based on the words that are really names of the places in Eretz Yisrael. So he said, Elam Ha'at, if that's the case, then look at Psukim later on. There are also places. Tziklag, Umadmano, Besansono, Vahachanami. You can tell me every place that I mentioned in Eretz Yisrael are different homiletic interpretations. So Amalei, so Rav Huna bar Nosson responded. He says, look, Ihava Rav Gavi mi be'argiza hocha, if that one who had given the interpretation of the previous pasuk, if he was here, Hava Amar Bataima, he would give a taste, an understanding of what these words are saying in a moral lesson. Now, Rav Acha Mebechazah Amar Bahachi, he actually did give interpretation, this Rav Acha Bechazah, on that other pasuk. He said as follows, Kol mi sheyesh lei tzakas legima al chaver, which again, that's the word tzaklag, whoever has a scream that relates to legima, which means to say of food that one eats, meaning if someone stole from someone else and he went to his life, meaning he took away even his parnasa, his sustenance regarding what he eats, yet v'doy mem, this is the next place of madmana, the dalad mem, and he's silent, sheikhin besneh, which that's the word besansana, the one who dwells in the sneh, which is the bush that Hashem showed himself first to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, Isla Din will do the judgment for that person. Again, the same concept where the person doesn't act out to the person that harmed him. He's silent. Hashem will take care of it for him. Now, returning to the theme that we also mentioned before regarding that song is forbidden in the house of drink. Again, there are certain things that we stopped once the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So related, the Gemara brings it, Amalei Resh Galusa L'Rav Huna. The Resh Galusa, who is the one that's always in charge of the people in exile, that's the word Galus, he's the head of all the, he's the prince, he's the head of the Jewish people. So he said to Rav Huna, Kalila, which was the certain crowns they used to make for the grooms, and they would make them out of gold and silver, and they would put a dye, and they would carve inside of it with sulfur and salt, and some would make it out of roses and myrtles. So he asked him, Anolan to Asam, where do we know that it's forbidden? We know that they used to use this for the grooms, and now they stopped. So where do we know that it's forbidden? So Rav Huna said to him, very simply, it's a midrabanan, it's a rabbinic injunction, because it's not like we're learning the Mishnah Masechta Saita. The Mishnah there says that they promulgated different decrees as the tsaris came closer and closer until the final tsar, which was the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, that they kept on making gezeiros about to diminish certain celebratory practices. Which is the first one was Bepulmus, which was when there was the army that came, Shal Aspasianus. Aspasianus came, that was before Titus, who he had then one siege he laid, and then the final siege when he finally destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. So at that first siege, Kazru ala Taras Chasanim, they made a decree regarding the crowns of Chasanim, of grooms, and Vala Eirus, which the Gemara in the last parak in Masechta Saita explains it's a bell with one clapper, which is a certain type of tool they would make for enjoyment at the wedding. So they stopped that instrument and these crowns. So he says this, that they stopped it. It's a rabbinic injunction. It was a gezerah. Now adahachi kam Rav Huna lafnuyi. In the meantime, Rav Huna got up to relieve himself. So then Rav Chisda, who was a student of Rav Huna, and it wasn't appropriate for him to give a different response when his Rebbe was still there. So when Rav Huna got up, so Rav Chisda said to the Resh Galus, he says, Kroksev, it's actually a pasuk. It's not just the Rabbanan. The pasuk is in Yecheskel. It says, Koyamar Hashem Lakim, so says Hashem the God, Hasar Hamatznefes Vaharim Ho'atara. Remove the hat and remove, take all, and lift up the crown. Zois loy zois, this, not this. Hashvola hagbe, that which is low is lifted up. Vahagavoy hashpil, and that which is on top is lowered. Now, b'chima inni mitznefes eitzlatar. What is the mitznefes, which is the name of one of the eight garments of the bigdei kohuna, or the four, which is worn by the kain? What does it have to do with a crown? So says Rav Chisda, Lamelcho, what it's coming to tell you is, bizman shemitznefes b'rish kohen gadol, when the hat, that which is called the mitznefes, is on the head of the kohen gadol, meaning the times of the base of Mikdash, then atara b'rish kolodim, then there's the crown on every single person's head, which was this kalila that they would wear by the chasna. Nistalka mitznefes b'rish kohen gadol, but if the mitznefes is off the head of the kohen gadol, nistalka atara b'rish kolodim, that's what the pasuk is referring to, hasar and harem, then you take off the crown of the head of every single person. Now, adahachi asar Rav Huna, in the meantime, Rav Huna finally came back. Ashkechinu dahava yasvi, he saw that they were sitting and he overheard what was being said. So amaleis, Rav Huna said to Rav Chisda, ho'elikim, which is a terminology of taking an oath, midrabbanan. This prohibition for the chasen to wear the kalila is only rabbinic. Now, the pasuk that you brought actually is referring to the crown of the king, because that was actually a prophecy that when the kohuna is going to stop, then tzidkiyo hamelech, the king is going to go into exile. So it's not that atara of a chasim, but rather of a king. Ella but said Rav Huna to his student, Chisda Shmeich, your name is Chisda, v'chazdoin milach, and your words are also beautiful and full of kindness and grace. But that's not really, it's not really based on the pasuk, it's a rabbinic injunction. Now actually, Ravina ashkeche l'mabar avashri, Ravina encountered mabar avashri, to have a gold kalila labrate, that he was making a kalila, this crown, for his daughter by her chuppah, by her chasna. So Amalei, so Ravina said to him, Leisava Lamar, don't you hold the drasha which Rav Chisda had said based on the pasuk, Hasar Hamitznefes of Har Ma'atara, that when there's no more Beis HaMikdash, no more Kohen Gadol with his hat and Mitznefes, then you can't use a crown for every single person anymore? So Amalei, so Ma'aba Avash responded, he says, Dumi to Kohen Gadol. Has to be comparable to Kohen Gadol, which is Begavri, with by a male, by a man, Abanashi Loi, that was only on the Kalila of the Chasen. But regarding the women, regarding Akala, that there was never a problem with. Now the Gemara asked regarding that pasuk that was mentioned with this Hasar HaMetznefes Har Ma'atar, the next words are Zois Loi Zois. So the Gemara asked, My Zois Loi Zois, what does it mean, this, not this? So Darshav Avira, and Zimn Omle Vishmeid Ravami, sometimes he would say it over the name of Ravami, Vizimn Omle Vishmeid Ravasi, sometimes he would say it over the name of Ravasi, and that is Bishosha Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, at the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Jewish people, meaning you're going to go into exile, Hasar HaMitznefes V'har Ma'atara, remove the mitznefes from the Kohen Gadol, remove the crown either from the king or from the chasanim. So at that time, Omer Malach Ha'ashor Slavnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then the ministering angel sent in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shalom, Zois, and this is where the first word Zois comes in, this, Lehen LeYisrael, you're doing to the Jewish people, Shekdimu Lefanecha B'Sinai Nas L'Nishma, that they prefaced this great statement by Har Sinai where they said, we will do before they even heard what you're going to ask from them. So Amalehen, that's where Hashem responded to the Malachim, Loi Zois, what, and not this? Meaning to put them into exile, Lehen LeYisrael, for the Jewish people? What do you mean? As the pasuk continues, Sheshbilu Es Hagvaya, because they have diminished that which is high, V'Gibiru Es HaShavol, and they have lifted up that which is low. Because V'Hamidu Tzelem HaHeichel, they put an idol in the Heichel, in the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash, which is bringing that which is on the bottom to the top, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is covered, which is on the top, Chas Hashem, down to the bottom. Now, Darsh Rav Avira, again, another exposition by Rav Avira, Zimnin Omalim Yishmeid Ravami, sometimes he would say the name of Ravami, Vizimnin Omalim Yishmeid Ravasi, sometimes he would say it over the name of Ravasi. He says, Maidich Siv, what does it mean, the Pasuk in Nochem, where it says, Koyomar Hashem, so does Hashem say, Im Shleimim, if they're whole, V'chein Rabim, and many, that in spite of that, v'cheinu goizu, so too they will cut off, v'oven they will pass, v'goim, etc. So there's a simple understanding of that pasuk, which talks about a different context, but he asked it in the way of a drasha. So he said as follows, Imroya adam shemezay noisav mitzum tzomin, if a person sees that his sustenance is exact, it doesn't have any extra, yas men tzedakah, he should actually give charity, v'kol sheken k'shem rubin, and for sure, if he has a lot more than just exactly the amount of money. And that's what he was making a drush in the pasuk was, im shleimim, if your mezainis is complete, meaning it's exact, it's mitzumtzum, and for sure, if they, as the pasuk says, v'chein rabim, and that they're many, then one should give tzedakah. How do you see that? Because as the Gemara asks, my v'chein ugoizav avu, what does it mean? And so too, they should cut and then pass by. So Tan Be'er Shmuel was taught in the Brayse of Yeshiva Be'er Shmuel, whoever cuts off from his assets, and he gives it for charity, he's saved from the judgment of Gehenna. Now, how do you see that from the pasuk? Because this can be compared to two sheep that are passing through the water. Now, achas gezuza, achas ene gezuza, one had its wool shorn off, and the other one didn't. Gezuza avar, the one that had shorn off, is able to get through the water, but the one that didn't have it shorn off gets weighed down by the water saturating it, and they can't pass through the water. That's the same thing what the pasuk is telling you. You should cut off from your money for tzedakah, and then vayavru, that's va'avar, then you'll be able to pass through the water, you'll be able to get through the judgment of Gehenna and go to Gan Eden. Now the Gemara continues, Amud Beis, and the pasuk says, and concludes, V'inisich, and afflict, so Amma Zutrah, and he expounds it as we had been interpreting up until now, which is the word ini could be just afflict or could be ani, which is afila ani amisparnas minat tzedakah, even a pauper who he gets provided for by charity, yasat tzedakah. The pasuk is saying, inisich, even the ani, you should do the same thing, you should also give charity. That's what the pasuk says, loy a'ani chayd. Then I will not, which you, it's simply translated as affliction, but in this context, telling Rav Yosef that shuv ein maron lo simone anis, then they won't show him anymore any signs of poverty, which means, say, if the poor man doesn't even have his own money, but he takes from the charity he gets and he gives charity, then he won't have to come and be a pauper anymore. He'll have enough to provide himself. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah, which again, we spoke about this halacha that if someone brings a get from Medina Siam to Eretz Yisrael, he has to say, b'fani nechdem, b'fani nechdem. So on that, Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says, and he was delineating the area of what's Eretz Yisrael, and what's beyond that in all the four directions, because the west is the sea, he didn't talk about that, which is considered Medina Siam out of Eretz Yisrael that you have to say. So he said that Mirakim Lamizrach, from Rekim to the east, is Medina Siam, Hulu, etc. And then he said that Akko to the north, and Akko itself is considered the north, meaning that's considered already out of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the question the Gemara asks is, Lememra the Akar Letzvoyne de Eretz Yisrael Kaim? Is that sounds like to say, because that's what all the signs he's giving, that the northernmost area of Eretz Yisrael is Akar. On that, the Gemara asks, but Bereminu, we have a Tesefta, a Braisa, which the understanding right now that we have is in our interpretation of the Mishnah is that Akar is by the eastern boundary of Eretz Yisrael. And the way it sounds like from the Mishnah is that it's the northernmost area. Problem is, as we'll see from the Braisa, it sounds like that a day or two in distance from the northernmost point of Eretz Yisrael is Akoy drawn towards the south. And Kiziv, actually a different place, is by the most northeastern point of Eretz Yisrael. And that there's a road that goes from Akar to Kziv, which that was by the eastern boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Now, therefore, says the Braisa, Hay mahalach ma'akar l'Kziv, if someone was walking from Akoy to Kziv, which is going from south to north, then miminoy, to his right, l'mizrach aderech, to the east of the road, is Tameya. That land is considered Tameh, because that's to the right of the path. And the reason why it's Tameh is Mishum Eretz Ha'amim, because that's considered out of Eretz Yisrael. And as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, that the rabbis decreed Tumah on the lands of out of Eretz Yisrael, again, because of different elements, possibly because of dead people that are buried and it's not clearly marked. And also that land to the right of this path is going to be exempt from the halachas of Meisr and the halachas of Shemitah, again, like all lands out of Eretz Yisrael. Until it's notified to you that you know for sure that it is obligated. In other words, we always assume that the right of that road from Akkad to Gziv is Eretz Amim, is out of Eretz Yisrael. Unless if you come to a place where someone who knows the roads tells you that here the road turns a little bit to the left and that it's going into the era of Eretz Yisrael, so that even to the right of the road is Eretz Yisrael, until someone tells you that, you can assume that it's not Eretz Yisrael. Now, mismayloi lemayrav haderech, now to the left of this path, to the west, that's going to be tahir mishum Eretz Am, that's going to be pure from the tumas Eretz Amim, because in other words, it's Eretz Yisrael. V'chayeves b'maisav b'shmita, and it will be liable, will be obligated in halachas of maisav tithes and of shmita year. Ach yivod l'choshi b'tor, until it's notified to you that it's exempt, meaning where then someone tells you that actually the road here turns to the right, where that means to the left of you is not Eretz Yisrael, it's actually Eretz Amim. Now the question is, ad heichen, up until where do we say that this applies going from Akkoy to the north, that we have this halacha of the path to the right, Eretz Amim, to the left, Eretz Yisrael. Ad Kaziv, until this place called Kaziv, and Yibishmol B'Yisi, I mean Mishamav, the name of his father, it's Ad Lav Levoy, which is the name of a place. Now, one thing the Gemara asks from this price is that we see that Akkoy is not totally to the north, it's actually a little bit drawn to the south, and Kaziv is by the total northern corner. So why does our Mishnah, Rabbi Huda, mention that Akkoy Litzafen, but Akkoy Kitzafen, as if that's the northernmost point of Eretz Yisrael, and that after that is Chutz Laaretz, when it's not true? We still have Kiziv that's still part of Eretz Yisrael. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, the truthfully is that Akkoy is the northernmost point of the square of Eretz Yisrael. Meaning from the primary body of Eretz Yisrael, Akkoy is the most northern point. But that Ritzua, there's a small little strip that's Nafka that goes out a little bit from Akkoy to the north, and that's still part of Eretz Yisrael, that is that path that we're talking about. But really, if one would make Eretz Yisrael as if it's a square, the northeasternmost corner is actually Akkoy. Not like some Gemaras have, as if it's in the middle, it actually should be all the way by Mizrach. And you have this little strip that goes out to Kaziv. So that's why in our Mishnah, when we're describing the body of Eretz Yisrael, we say the northernmost point is Akkoy, but yes, there is a little strip that goes out to Kaziv. Now that the Gemara asks, V'yav tana simana hachi? What? Would the brisa that we just quoted give a whole detailed halacha regarding one strip of land that goes out from Akkoy to Kaziv to say that, oh, if you're to the right of the road, it's like this, to the left of the road, it's like this? Why would we be talking about one seemingly insignificant road to make a whole halacha out of this? So the Gemara says, and yes, the tana of the brisa would do that. And Kronami Yov Simon, we actually could show you that there's a pasuk that does the same thing, that gives signs regarding a small little strip, like a path. Tichsev, like it says a pasuk in Shaiftim. The pasuk says, V'yimr, and they said, Hine, behold, Chag Hashem b'Shiloi miyam liyamim, that there is a yamtiv in Shiloi, which is the name of a place, from year to year. Hashem etzvayner lebeisel, which is to the north of Beisel. Mizrucha Hashemesh, which is to the east of the sun, lemesila, to the path, ha'oila mi Beisel Shechem, that goes from Beisel to Shechem, u'minegev l'levayna, and to the south of Levayna. Now, v'amra papa explained this pasuk, that it means lemizrocha shel mesila. It means that we were describing this area, it's to the east of the path. That's where Shiloh is, because it's telling you it's to the north of Beisel. So obviously, when it's saying that it's Mizrucha Hashemesh, what where is that word going on? It's going to the next words in the pasuk, is to the east of the path. So you have Shiloh is to the north of Beisel, it's to the east of the path, and it's to the south of Levayna. So you see that a pasuk gives a detail of a description, and what's it using as its sign, as its indicators of location? It's using a small little path. So therefore, the Brisa would do the same thing, where, yeah, it's giving a whole halacha and a description of to the right is Eretz Am, to the left is Eretz Yisrael, of this little strip of path, and that's why we spoke about it. Yes, Kiziv is further north, but since we want to give a description for the whole mass of body that's Eretz Yisrael, we use Akkoy and we don't use Kiziv. Now the Gemara continues on this halacha of our Mishnah of Befani Nechtim, that when one is bringing a get from Medina Sayam, he has to say b'fani nechtem, but in Eretz Yisrael you don't have to. So we have the following machlokes. Tanachad, we learned in one brisa Hamevi get besfina. If someone brings a get on a boat, meaning it was written on the boat. Now, the Gemara's assumption is they were talking about in the rivers of Eretz Yisrael. So that says the Braisa. It's Kamevi by Eretz Yisrael. It's like you brought it in Eretz Yisrael, as if you brought it on dry land. It's in the waters. It's in the area of Eretz Yisrael. So you don't have to say Befani Nechta, Befani Nechta. But Tani Yidach, we learn another Braisa that says Kamevi b'chutz l'aretz. It's like you brought it from out of Eretz Yisrael. And the reason being is because rivers don't have the same halachic status as dry land for all halachas of the land. And therefore, it's like you're not in Eretz Yisrael, so you have to say Befani Nechta, Befani Nechta. So which one is it? So Amar Birmiya, the first approach the Gemara gives, he says, Loi Kasha. Not a difficulty. In other words, not a contradiction, because it's actually a machlokes. Ha, Rabbi Huda. The second Braisa is like Rabbi Huda. And Ha, Rabbanan. The first Braisa is like the Rabbanan. It's not like the Mishnah Mitzvah Chala. The Mishnah says, Afer Chutz La'aretz. One takes the earth from out of Eretz Yisrael, Haba Besvinu La'aretz, that comes by boat to Eretz Yisrael. Now, it was planted and in the boat, and it sprouted. Now, moreover, the boat is made out of earthenware. And you don't have to make any holes in the boat. For example, if let's say it was on the ground, as the Gemara explains in Pesachos Benochis, that the yinika, the nourishment, would come from the ground straight through the earthenware. That's what earth is. So it wouldn't have to have any holes. So if let's say someone took earth from out of Eretz Yisrael, and then he planted it and it grew in the boat in Eretz Yisrael, says the Tanna Kamma, Chayiv b'maisu b'shvias. So that person is liable on those, what's growing over there, in the Taifs and Shemitah. And the reason being is because the rivers of Eretz Yisrael have the same halachic status as Eretz Yisrael. Now, that's the Chachamim. But Amr B'Yehuda argues, and he says, Eimosai, when did we say this? Bizman shasvina goysheshes. That's only if the boat is touching, is docked, is touching in the ground, where it's not deep waters. But if the boat is not touching the ground, then it's going to be exempt, which you're not going to be like Eretz Yisrael to be Chayv and Maisus and Shemitah. So obviously that's what these two Brises are like. The one that says that it's like Eretz Yisrael is like the Chacham, who say that the rivers are always like Eretz Yisrael, even if it's not touching the ground. Whereas Rabbi Huda said that it's only if it's touching the ground, because that's based on the ground. You're on the ground, you're on the bottom of the water. But the water itself, the rivers, are not like Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's like you brought it from Chutz La'aretz, and you'll have to say, B'fani Nechta, B'fani Nechta. Now, Abaye Amar, he gives a second approach. He says, no, Havah Rabbi Huda hi, B'loi Kasha. Actually, both Braises can be like Rabbi Huda. It's not a difficulty, because Khan, the second Braise, is talking about B'zman She'in Asvin Gesheshes, when the boat is not touching the ground. Then it's like Chutz La'aretz. Khan, the first Braise, was talking about B'zman She'in Gesheshes, when the boat is touching the ground. Then, even in the river, it's going to have the halachic status like Eretz Yisrael, and you don't have to say B'fani Nechta or B'fani Nechta. Now, based on what we just said, Amar Abzeir, Abzeir says, Otzitz, if one has a pot made out of wood that's nakub, that has a hole, and again, that's why if it's earthenware, it doesn't, but wood would interpose between the plant and the ground. But if let's say it's made out of wood, but it has a hole, Hamunach al-gabi, you say this, and it's put on top of pegs, which many people have. You have a plant, and there could be a hole in the bottom. It's on pegs, so it's not touching the ground. But the earth is, there's nothing interposing between the earth besides ear and the plant. So on that, says Rabbi Zeira, Banu l'machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. That brings us that this same halacha would be dependent on the machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan, that we just mentioned from the Mishnah Masechtas Chala, where according to the Rabbanan, that the ear is not a problem. It's like it's on the ground, where they said that even if it's on a boat, where it's not touching the ground, it's like Eretz Yisrael. So then by the Atzis Nakiv, you would be chayiv in Trumas and Maisus. Whereas according to Rabbi Huda, would say that you wouldn't be chayiv in Maiser midday Raisa biblically until it's touching the ground. Like he said, only if it's Gishashas, if it's touching, then it's considered as part of Eretz Yisrael. But if it's lifted off the ground, then it's not considered part of Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rabbi Zeira says. However, Amar Rava, Rava disagrees. And he says, Dimulahi, maybe it's not the case. I could tell you either one would hold the other way, which is, Ad kan lekam Rabbi Yehuda Hasam. Where do we find over there Rabbi Yehuda that says that it's not touching the ground, it's not going to be considered part of Eretz Yisrael, as if it's on the land? That's Ela Besvino. That's in regards to a case, as we spoke about, when it's on a boat. Whereas we continue on top of Chesem Adalf, because Hasui Levroyach, a boat is something that's normally moving every moment. So if it's moving, so then we can't see it as connected to the ground. So even if it's growing in the boat, we don't see it as connecting from the ground to be Chayav in Trumas HaMaisis. But a pot, which is not moving at any point in time, it's staying stationary the whole time, then maybe not. Maybe he would agree that we would see it connected to the ground and it would be chayv and trumas amayisus. Or inami, or the other way around. Ad kan lo kam rabban hasa, maybe over there the rabban said that even though it's not touching the ground, we view it as part of Eretz Yisrael. That's elibis svina, that's only by a boat. Why? To le mafsika vira, where there's no ear space interrupting between the plant and the ground, between the boat and the land. There's no ear over there that's separating. Demaya ki aris michta damya, because we consider water as if it's one contiguous with the land itself. We view it as part of the land. There's nothing interposing between the water, and water could even help. Aval atzitz demafsika vira lari, but I could tell you that by the atzitz, where the ear space is separating and interposing between the plant and the ground, maybe the Rabbana would agree that actually we would not consider it part of Eretz Yisrael. Maybe by water, there we consider it as one element with the ground, and therefore he says it's no raya like Reb Zeir wanted to say, it's telling the machlekes of Yehuda Rabbanan. I could tell you that either one of those opinions could say the opposite in regard to this halacha of the atzitz nakif.